I was reading a book about dying from Srinandananda, Facing Death, Welcoming the Afterlife. He was discussing a point, a very interesting point about the faculties of the human body, the sense faculties, and how it's, because he served dying people for some years in the hospice, and he also did studies, and it's actually a scientific fact, that the senses close down as one is approaching death, the senses close down one by one by one. You can't see, and then you can't speak, you can't speak, you can't see, you can't smell, you can't touch, you can't taste, because the consciousness recedes. And eventually, all the awareness recedes into the heart region, where the soul is. And then the one is like in a coma state, gradually all the energy is collecting there, in the soul region. And then from there, the soul will leave the body. Of course, that's not so easy, because it may be extremely attached and be very painful, and arms may be flailing here and there. And then there's a death fever, and the body gets very hot, and it becomes very cold. And still, the soul has not quite left the body yet, because often when people are observing someone's dying, they check his hands and feet. Oh, look, his hands are blue, his feet are blue. It means the circulation is because the heart stopped. The feet start turning blue, and they might be very cold. Oh, his hands are very cold, his feet are very cold. I think he's dying, a symptom of approaching death. And then perspiration because of the death fever, and then becoming very cold. And so sometimes they're very hot and very cold, but then still the soul hasn't left yet. But the person's always dead, but he's actually almost dead. And maybe just slight breathing, just sighing, and then going. So at this point, the only sense that works is a sense of hearing. And even that's if the person's conscious, the sense of hearing works, even if the person's in a coma and deeply unconscious, still the sense of hearing is working, and the soul in that body in a state of coma can still hear. And it can even hear whispering. So if you're saying, oh my God, I think he's dead, the guy in the body can hear that. He's hearing that, and he's saying, oh my God, you know, these people are too much. Yeah. So that's why there's so much emphasis in all religions of the world, incantations or prayers or mantras or songs or psalms or chanting of Hare Krishna, be going on loudly, because that can help the soul fix his mind, get detached from the body attachments and get attached to the sound vibration, and help him to make that exit from the body. So the whole point that I'm trying to make by this small discussion is that hearing is so important, so valuable. And I was thinking about what I read, and I was thinking that actually hearing hearing is the first thing that we enter this world with, is hearing. The sense of hearing is the first sense that's active when we take birth. And hearing is the last sense faculty that's active when we die. The very final moment of death, when the soul is leaving the body, hearing is working. Because, if you touch the person's body, they won't respond. If you hold their hand, they won't squeeze your hand. If you put some smell, you put some, any kind of unbelievable smell under their nose, they won't sneeze or anything. And if you put something in their mouth, they won't taste, because the whole consciousness is withdrawn from all senses. They don't function. The senses have shut down. You can't see anything. You can open the guy's eyeballs and he won't see. There'll just be a piece of glass there. So it'll look like he's dead. He's still alive. Soul is still there. If his eyes are closed, their eyes might be open. You go like this, shine a light. There's nothing. Nothing will happen, because the consciousness is not interacting with the sense of sight or smell or taste or touch. But hearing is still working. It's an amazing thing. That's why so much emphasis on having a kirtan, playing a tape, having devotees chanting there. And that's why people say, chant, chant. Remember Krishna, remember. And they can hear that, yes, and then you say, yes, yes, Krishna. Because the pain is so great, the pain of death is so intense and so great, it makes giving a child look like stubbing your toe or something. Of course, nobody even has a child anymore, everybody does cesarean. But if anyone ever does a natural childbirth, they know how painful it is, feel like you're dying. But actually dying is 100 times more than that. In some scriptures it says the pain of dying is like being bitten by 100 scorpions at once. But hearing is working. So the person can hear. So what's happening is there's this intense struggle because the body's saying, yes, the body. And then someone's outside saying, think of Krishna, fix your mind on Krishna. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Krishna. Oh, my body. Krishna. So you have to reach out to the name or you reach out to your body. So if you've been reaching out to the name every moment of your life as much as possible, then you can reach out to the name at the time of death. Otherwise, if you're always reaching out to your body all the time, oh my body, then at the time of death, my body, oh it's my family, my body, oh it's this body, got to get another body, let me out of this body. Then you get out of the body and get another body. Oh Krishna, please, I'm your servant, Krishna, take me, your service, Krishna, okay, let go, Krishna, take me, Krishna. I mean, that's all going on internally. You may not be chanting. You may be in a coma, but you're hearing. So it's like a subtle thing. It's like the space between thoughts. You know, you can imagine you're drifting in the space between thoughts because you're not really in conscious. You're so floating. You're floating above the body because you're like half out of the body at this time. You're transiting through the astral plane practically. But hearing is still going on. So this hearing, and then, so that's death. But life, when you take birth, when a baby appears, hearing is also working. Because the eyes don't work when you're born either, right? The eyes are all, yeah, they're open. But what happens? The first sense that's active when a baby comes out of the body is hearing. Because they slap on the back and what does he do?
Cries.
And what does he hear? He hears his crying. Ah, hey, that's me. they say, well, the interesting thing, and according to Vedas, it's in Charak Samhita, which is one of the two main books of Ayurveda, which the whole science of Ayurvedic is modern Ayurveda is based on, called Charak Samhita, or no, it's called Shushuta Samhita, written by Charaka Rishi or something like that. Shushuta Samhita, and there's Charak Samhita. But it's all about Ayurveda, and there's a whole ritual in there. The different medicines you take, it's called a Pumsavanana ceremony. After 3 months of pregnancy. So 3 months from the time of conception, at that point, there's no gender of the child. The child is like the first couple of days like a tadpole, like a frog. It's really like a frog. You study in embryology, it's the same. There's no difference between a tadpole and a human being. And then the brain develops, and then they explain which planet controls the development of the fetus after each month. First month is Venus, second month is Mars, third month is Jupiter. It's so much detail in the Vedas, it's unbelievable, I was reading. And so the third month is Jupiter, and Jupiter is a male planet, it's masculine. So in this month, in the third month from conception, in 1 month, in 2 months, in the third month, at that time, if the woman eats particular some medicines and different herbs and things, and some other, and worships Jupiter and does some puja to, well, Jupiter means Brihaspati. Yes. So worships Brihaspati and some planetary pujas and this thing, and in relation to Jupiter, you have to find out when Jupiter is rising, and during that, after 3 months of conception, when Jupiter's on the lagna, and some Jupiter planet, and then puja to Brihaspati, then eat these herbs, then it's guaranteed you'll get a male child. Yeah. Guaranteed. Just like there's three ceremonies. First is Garbhadan Samskara, then there's Pumsavanana, then these are like ceremonies to guarantee a male child. So this is the sound element, how important the sound element is. That even when we first appear in this world, it's sound that activates. We enter this world with sound. We enter this world, the very first sense experience that a child has is sound. Ah. And then the last experience he has is sound. Oh, did he leave? Did he give you the money? Did he tell you the numbers of the Swiss bank account? I don't know. Let's ask him. He's in coma. And we'll shake him. Hey, get up, wake up, what's the numbers? And he's thinking, these stupid guys, I'm in coma. I'm about to die and they want to know my Swiss bank numbers now. He's hearing all that. So if you're fortunate, the last sounds you hear will not be that, but to be the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this means when we're awake, when we're in the womb at 7 months old, you can begin to hear. The Vedas are saying at 7 months the child becomes conscious. The senses start functioning and he can start hearing. So then the mother's supposed to start reading Bhagavatam out loud and hearing kirtan, so then it gives some shape to the mentality. The karma, the lifespan, the intelligence, the body, the nose, everything's determined already. But the mentality can be somewhat shaped and reformed by benign vibrations. This I've read. But obviously karma is acting, so you can't change that much. But this is also some good fortune that if he's able to hear at 7 months of Bhagavatam and Shabda Brahman's spiritual sound vibration, then that can reshape his mentality. So he may live short, he may have his lifespan and his intelligence or whatever, but it may be more peaceful or more tolerant. Some good qualities will come. It changes. It changes actually the jiva inside the womb. So sound is very powerful. So this means that when we're in the womb at 7 months, before we're born, sound has effect. When we're first born, sound is with us. When we die, sound is most important. So that means even when we sleep, sound is important. And the karmis have developed so many sleep teaching techniques. Learn Spanish in 30 days, and you play these tapes. ¿Qué pasa? Then you wake up. ¿Qué pasa? And you start speaking Spanish, because you get programmed in the sleep. And I remember I used to listen to Prabhupada's lectures in the night, and I would hear so many shlokas and stuff. In the morning when I woke up, I used to chant these shlokas I heard in the verse, in the tape. I learned a lot of shlokas that way, just listening to tapes at night. I wasn't like, oh, I'm going to learn this shloka or try to learn shlokas. I just later be walking and said, what is a shloka? Then later again I played that tape. Oh, I must have heard it in my sleep. So it works. I know it works. I mean, it's working in the womb. And it's working when you're in a coma. You're in a coma, totally, and sleeping is not a coma. It's not that bad. It's like comatose, comatose state. I mean, you're unconscious, but if you're a light sleeper, you can smell and to some extent, not much, but even then, hearing is most important. They say when a person is sleeping, only his ears will save him. You can't smell a fire, you can't see a fire, you can't even feel a fire. Your whole bed is on fire, and you're just... Hey, get up! Your bed's on fire. So when I'm really tired, get away, shut up, be quiet. You know? No, get up, your mattress is on fire, you stupid. So you woke me your eyes, oh my God, you're right! Let me out of here. And you jump out the window, you know. So this is the thing, ears are our saving grace. Shravana Dasha. Accepting everything through the ears, offering the ears to the sound vibration. So by hearing we go forward, we advance in our attachment to Krishna. So we should surround ourselves with transcendental sound, with Leela Katha and Guna Katha and Hari Katha and Nam Katha, Nam Kirtan. Wrap around sound. The karmis have these phrases, quadraphonic sound. Home studio, or what do they call it? Home entertainment center. Wrap around sound. But everyone's already totally wrapped up in Maya. They're wrapped up in Maya, so what more do they need to be wrapped up in? Wrap around sound. We're already wrapped around with rap music. The whole atmosphere is enraptured. And wrap around sound, and everyone's enraptured by the sound vibration of Maya. And all these cell phones are really a disservice to the world because they're saturating the ethers with prajalpa. The entire ether content, ether means calm. Vumirapo nalolayu kamano, calm. The border between air, the border between tangible reality and intangible reality is called ether. intangible reality is man, buddhi, hankara, atma. So that border is called ether, and below that is tangible reality, air. You can touch the air, you can touch the water, you can touch the fire, you can touch the earth. The ether you can't touch.
It's more subtle. More subtle.
It's subtle. It's a carrier. It's a tunnel, channel for vibration, channel for sound. The sound medium creates, the sound medium destroys. The sound medium degrades, the sound medium uplifts. So we can create our spiritual reality by sound medium. We can become uplifted by sound medium. But now that sound medium is surcharged with faithlessness, surcharged with prajalpa. How many cell phones are there in India? 100 million cell phones. Save my soul. SMS. Save my soul. It's the only way to say, the only SMS would be Harikata. SMS is a message to save my soul. Topics about Krishna. So how many people in this world are speaking Harikata, and how many people are speaking Prajapati? There's 100 million cell phones in India, and how many of those cell phones are being used to speak Harikata? I was very much interested in this concept of hearing. And hearing is with us from the womb to the tomb. At 7 months you can hear. The Atma becomes conscious. Right? We discussed this point. That's the womb. W-O-M-B. Womb. Womb means the garbha. Right? W-O-M-B. Womb. And tomb means the coffin. No, not that coffin. It's one way to go. Coffin means the box, the tomb. Any questions? Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.